How is it that our purposeful relationships form the foundation of how we conduct ourselves on a regular basis? How is it that ego has a very debilitating effect on these said relationships? And how can we leverage technology in a positive way to build upon these conversations and purposeful relationships beyond real sending? Hello? And welcome back to Stoic Spirituality, a podcast where I look through, analyze, and dissect various thoughts, quotes, and books that I've read over the last few years. My name is Jogan, and I'm a student of the human experience, trying to spread some knowledge out to the rest of the world. And so, this episode series, over the last many episodes, has been dedicated to this idea of self-mastery. We've gone through the idea of ego and its negative impacts in terms of status, chatter, and our necessity for external validation. We've gone through the idea of adversity and its powerful ability to move us in the right direction. We've discussed the idea of how courage in our actions gives us a lot of power and how presence is an important necessity for all that we do. And in the last episode, we discussed the first part of purposeful connections and relationships, which is based on the idea of minimalizing our technology use and maximizing our ego reduction. So I wanted to dedicate this episode to tying out some of the many things we've discussed in previous episodes, but primarily focusing on the idea of purposeful connections. And why I'm so passionate about this topic is that digital minimalism is a huge philosophy I'm an advocate for, which is the idea of picking and choosing specific technologies that benefit us and leveraging our love for the technologies to a certain extent, using them as tools, not as life rulers. So through this episode, I want to build upon the barriers that we discovered in our previous episode and provide actionable insights and actionable ways we can find ourselves mastering our purposeful relationships and getting better at being a more reliable, timely, and present friend to all. Because purposeful connections, they anchor us. They provide us with responsibility and accountability to those around us. It reduces our ego by having friends that can call us out for when we are not acting in accordance with our true values. It gives us the ability to foster growth by finding role models or characteristics that you may like in other people to build upon in yourself, to foster your own trust and your own growth. And this is a blend of spiritual connections and stoic duty, two important concepts to this podcast. And so as we begin this episode, I want you to ask yourself, when have you strengthened a bond through something that required more out of you than you might have expected? When was the last time that you did something for someone as a selfless or vulnerable act? And ask yourself how good you felt after and how much stronger the bond was. And similarly, ask the question the other way around. When was the last time someone did something for you? And how much more did you regard them positively as a result? Let's think through these questions and find our way through practical steps to master connection through this episode. So, mastering purposeful connections builds bonds. And these bonds are built with the bricks of selflessness, a lack of ego, presence, reliability, mutual growth, and overcoming of barriers like technology, resentment, and ego. And so the first part of any purposeful relationship requires you to act selflessly. Because a relationship is not a 50-50 kind of see that one person does this much, one person does this much. It is almost always going to be a push and a pull. There will be times you'll have a rough day that you want to talk to someone about. There will be times someone else will have a rough day and they want to talk to you about. But by prioritizing yourself instead of other people, you don't allow this push and pull that truly builds relationships to actually occur. But by acting selflessly, helping other people, being there for people without expectation of them to be there for you, quite ironically, will create opportunities for them to be there for you. And we'll create a stronger connection amongst the two of you. Because as much as we like it or not, creating invulnerable scenarios are scenarios of crisis, people bond together and become closer together. However, if you allow yourself to be so detached and so self-focused, you don't allow yourself to become selfless and find opportunities to be there for other people and build your relationship. And you don't allow yourself to give yourself up to be vulnerable to other people as well. And like I just said, not only does this go in the direction where you can receive people's kind of vulnerable thoughts, experiences, and be there as a source of support, you also have to take a very, very difficult step, which is being vulnerable. A lot of us like to think we're self-contained, very powerful, very like acknowledgeable, very like emotionally controlled people. And we do not like showing parts of ourselves that may not be this perfect masked persona we've derived and created out of nowhere. However, to cultivate true trust, we must be open and willing to be vulnerable. You must be open and willing to be someone who shares their thoughts and feelings authentically. Because vulnerability fosters humility. The ability to almost in a sense put yourself out there and allow people to hear things that have troubled you, things that have made you feel bad, things that have caused emotional distress to you, chips away at this quote-unquote perfect persona you want to project to everyone else, and it makes you feel human. It humanizes you. It reduces the ego that you have over yourself, and it grounds your interactions to be ones based in true friendship and reliability, not on superficial cues, not superficial speeches, not small talk about the weather, but truly grounded interactions based in humility. And this is not something that happens immediately or instantly. And it is not something that stays with you once you get to a certain point. And as a result, you must always practice humility to value others' perspective. One of my favorite quotes, one of my favorite biological like illustrations is that we have one mouth and two ears. Our ears are double the amount of how many mouths we have. So shouldn't we not listen twice as much as we speak? Should we not give everyone else around us the respect they deserve with their undivided attention? Because active listening not only allows us to listen, remember, understand what everyone's saying, but it also provides a little bit of a block from ego's need to be right. Because in a lot of cases, when you're talking to people, sometimes people want to listen to you for the sake of being able to say the next thing. However, an active listener sets aside their ego's necessity to constantly talk and be right, and instead replaces it with simply listening. And so these are, I would say, examples and good ideas to stand by as an overall perspective, as an overall necessity in order to maintain and build upon relationships. However, in any and all relationships, there might or might not be a degree of conflict where you believe something, someone believes something else, or you did something that someone wasn't fond of and they did something you weren't fond of per se. And what ends up happening is that this simmers in conflict. A relationship that was based on technology, one that was based on superficial characteristics, one that was not truly a friendship, will create resentment, passive aggressiveness, and ego. And when someone wants to even talk to you, they just think it's not worth it because you're not even that close. You haven't spent too much time interacting with each other and learning what everyone else's vulnerabilities, learning what everyone else's characteristics and qualities. Your relationship was based on sending reels that reminded you of each other. And so in times of conflict, not only are they even going to arise when you care enough about the person, but what will end up happening is even when it does arise, your ego has a tendency to always want to be right. And so the purpose of this kind of conflict-based story is that in order to build better relationships, we must let go of ego's necessity to always be right. Because you want to think of the greater priority. Is it important that you are right in this one scenario that has no effect on their future friendship for the sake of being right? Or is it more important to you to have a friendship? An ego's necessity to be right does not work only in the time where you guys have mutual conflict, but it's also when someone has done you wrong. If someone has treated you unfairly, if someone has said things they want to take back or regret, ego always wants to hold on to these grudges, always wants to hold on to the resentment, lords it over the other person, and wants the other person to feel the same pain that that you felt when they leveled that thing at you. However, by releasing ego, not only do you give the other person a chance to build themselves back up to receive your trust, but it also opens the way up to active forgiveness and the healing of bonds that were severed or were frayed at the knots because of misunderstandings, miscommunications, or even someone doing you wrong as well. And the way to build up these strong, powerful bonds and relationships is to let go of ego and practice active forgiveness, even if, especially if someone has done you wrong. Because there is no better scenario where you may have a justification to lash back out, but that is where you must practice forgiveness and empathy to release past hurts. Because in the end, these past hurts, in the grand scheme of 80, 100 years, how much ever long you want to like live or have been fated to live for, these little spats are going to mean nothing. Because we came into this life with nothing. We're going to leave it with nothing. And in the middle, we are having little spats that take our entire mind off of what is important, which is living with purpose and living without ego. And simply by having this as a cornerstone of your mind, you will practice active forgiveness and release these past hurts and strengthen bonds with people and move your thoughts toward places that are more aligned with your purpose. And so we've discussed some general principles and some ways to do conflict resolution and how we can use these two to leverage and build upon and master our purposeful connections. And now I want to bring in the idea of technology. Technology is a great debilitator and also a great improver of our conversations, depending on how we use it. Our relationships, especially as we move to a more globalized society, are benefited greatly with the use of technology. Being able to call people, being able to text them, and being able to spend time with them virtually strengthens relationships. However, technology also has the ability to reduce our relationships as well. By focusing so much on the likes and dislikes we get from our posts or other people's posts, by focusing on the reels we send as a substitute for a real connection, by avoiding having tough conversations through the passive aggressiveness that social media can give us, by posting something on our story that is meant to be posted for a specific person and watching them look at that thing and feeling satisfaction over it. All of this has implications and abilities for us to disintegrate our overall relationships. So my proposal is that we use technology as a conduit and a tool to build situations and places where we can have true connections and conversations and truly, quote unquote, catch up and build and grow together. Because technology is useful, it connects us, but only way we can build a relationship is in person or on a phone call. And the same way we can use technology to build our relationships or disintegrate them, we can also disintegrate them when we're with other people. Looking at our phone and we're in the middle of a conversation with someone else is a recipe for somewhat disaster. I have, just by nature of my practice in the past, have always found myself like pausing whenever someone looks at their phone. It's become an instinct almost at this point. Because if I'm speaking something and someone looks away or looks another direction, my first instinct is, oh, okay, they must have something that is so important that it requires them to break their connection with me to respond to this text. 90% of the time, it isn't, but I give them the space for the 10% that it could be. And for that reason, I also advocate for the idea of being present in conversations. Because those distractions that you see every so often, you may feel like you're feeling good for responding to them immediately, but I can guarantee you that no one really, not too many people care if you respond to them immediately. And what they do care about is simply the presence you provide in their in-person presence. Because this builds trust. This builds trust that you are someone who's listening to what they're saying, and people feel like you're someone who they can rely upon. But simply by looking at your computer, looking at your phone, doing all of these actions that may seem like you're on top of everything you want to do, really disintegrates all the more important things in your social life. And the trust that we build through this is not going to be instant, by the way. It's going to be years, months, if you're lucky, that it will take for people to start to trust you more and will you tell you more things you don't believe are worth your or not worth something that you should hear or not. Because patience and time is what really builds these relationships. But patience and time will build these relationships only if you do the right things to build. You must foster mutual accountability, practice patience, align them with your shared purpose, and being present, reliable, and timely will create in you not only conduits for building up relationships, but also mastery of your own idea of purposeful connection. And the accountability you gain from having other people around you and telling you how you're doing and how you're not doing will not only ground you in humility, but will also build and create forums for you to improve your own self. And the most important and one of the most like iconic moments I've had in a long time regarding relationships is sharing silence. In our superficial world, sometimes we feel like we always need to keep the freaking conversation going at any point in time. We must always have something to say, something to talk about, something to do. But something I really enjoy with people is just embracing shared silence. And you cannot get there without a friendship that has been built on trust and empathy for many years. You cannot get there without having a bond that goes beyond Instagram reels and likes. You cannot go there if you still stay grounded in a negative sense, where you think that a little like text here and there will make up for months of no connection. And that shared silence you can have, I think, is such a great like landmark of a true friendship, because that shows that you don't need or need to base your friendship based on words. You can simply be there in everyone's company and build a purposeful relationship just with quality time. And one thing I've come to realize with my purposeful connections is you don't need too many of them. Social media and other algorithms and society as a whole makes us think that quantity is better than quality. However, one important thing I realize is you don't need too many friends to feel happy or fulfilled in your life, but you actually need a few friends that are actual friends, not connections, to feel that. And by prioritizing your quality time to build these relationships, not only do you feel socially fulfilled, you also realize how many of these other interactions were not as necessary or useful in the long run. And by cultivating these moments, shared moments with everyone else, creating these inside jokes, creating joy to deepen these bonds, you allow yourself to become more socially comfortable. And you allow yourself to be vulnerable and build trust with everyone else around you as well. And this long-term commitment that comes with shared bonds that are based on true knowledge of each other and shared characteristics will last for years to come, as opposed to the situational proximity-based connections you may or may not build. So, through this episode, we've discussed and dissected the idea of how ego can debilitate away at our connections, how we can cultivate trust over time with patience to many of our friends and connections, how we can practice humility and active listening and being present for other people to value your actual presence and your time and your reliability. And we can illustrate conflict resolution in order to build upon our true connections over time. And the illustration that we do not need too many people for ourselves to feel better or feel socially fulfilled. And how only a few strong connections can make up for the 10 or 11 like loose connections you may or may not have. And how patience and long-term commitments to these bonds will always build in us a love for other people, a vulnerability and openness to everyone else. And will show yourself that you do not need many people to make you feel happy. You just need a few good people. I have been lucky enough to have a few of these good people that we've spent years cultivating better friendships with, that I can call close, really close or best friends of mine. And that came not as a result of sending reels or liking everyone's Instagram posts. It came from getting on the phone with them and talking for hours on end about random things, being vulnerable with them, letting them be vulnerable with me. And I can tell with confidence that I have these friends and I'm grateful for all of them. And I know that they will be there when I need them. I can tell you that I also have a few Instagram connections that I may reach out to every so often, but I don't expect anything from them. They don't expect anything from me. We call those low maintenance friendships. I don't call those serious friendships at all. I call those acquaintances. And so by allowing ourselves to build purposeful relationships, avoid technology's quote-unquote substitute for these, and by putting our ego to the side and listening with humility, we can really build ourselves a great life that is based on social conversations that are deeper in nature. And so, few ways we can, as summary, listen to the interruption, practicing forgiveness, sharing a vulnerable moment weekly, even if it is in a journal or if it is to someone else, scheduling quality time, not based on texts, but actual in person or phone, and reflecting on how we can build ourselves to be better tomorrow, to help cultivate better connections, and to become someone better than you were yesterday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode on the idea of purposeful connections and how we can work our way to building these more powerful, strong connections. And you've explored a wealth of solutions to master these connections based on ego-based kind of thoughts, minimizing our technology use, and by prioritizing a few friends instead of 17. That's just an arbitrary number. And overcoming other barriers. Next episode, we'll think about this idea of fear and facing doubts with courage, with a little bit of a tie-in to other episodes as well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like this content, feel free to drop me a follow on whichever platform you're listening to this podcast on. And if you'd like to hear my short clips or sound bits from these episodes, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening, and see you guys next time.